This is the Sounding Board Podcast with Hutchie and Damo for Drinkwise. Got kids at home? If having a drink, be a positive role model. Drinkwise in front of your kids.
Question time on the Sounding Board for Drinkwise. Got kids at home? If having a drink, be a positive role model and Drinkwise in front of your kids. We'll go to Twitter today. First up, Joel, it is. Public sentiment toward Bruce and BT this year hasn't been overly positive. Feels like Seven isn't reading the room, but they're in too deep with BT, it would seem. Are there any new play-by-play callers that Channel 7 could bring in? And will Bruce continue next year? That's a bit harsh on that assessment, Hutch. You would have thought?
Yeah, I think they're big-name broadcasters, and in that sense, everyone's going to have an opinion on them. But I think the more... And they elicit a very strong reaction from people. So I think they've done a fantastic job, and more people love them than don't. But as soon as I say that, people go, oh, you don't realise it's an emotive thing for people, commentary. It will always be. And so long as you're drawing a reaction from people, that's all you can ask for.
What I will say about that, Hutchie, as I get older, the more I actually think this to be the case. If Channel 7 was to broadcast a game of footy on mute, there would be not one less viewer watching. What I'm saying is, how much, and no matter how much they annoy people, not one viewer is not turning on because of that individual broadcasting.
I couldn't agree more, Damo.
Mike Davenport on Facebook. A simple question this week. Guys, ahead of the Bathurst 1000, are you Holden or Ford supporters?
I miss that whole rivalry, so I don't buy into either side, ostensibly. You?
I vary. When I was growing up, Alan Moffat was my hero. Hutchie, remember the yes. Moffat versus Brock rivalry? And he drove the Ford, and we had a Ford, so that was my support. Then I bought a Commodore as my very first car, and I've been a bit of a bogan ever since, Hutchie. And I drive a Chevrolet now, which you remind people, which has got the Holden links in Australia. So right now, Mike, I'm a Holden man.
You drive a muscle car, and there's no one less suited to a muscle car I know than you. You look like you've stolen it when you get in it. You look totally out of place.
You've been in it a couple of times.
It's just a weird look. The car you drive does not suit your persona.
Oh, well, I told you I had that midlife crisis, and I probably still have. Richard Knight on Facebook, if not already discussed, has Peter Credlin, with her appearance at the Daniel Andrews press conferences, become a bona fide journalist? I reckon she has, and we did discuss that, Richard, in the main body of the Sounding Board, and I'm fascinated to see what happens next with her appearances at those Daniel Andrews conferences.
Vince Moody asks, has Trumpism damaged people's ability to believe in the news? I see it flowing into Australian news stories when people wish not to believe in the story. They say fake news.
I reckon it has, Hutchie, but I reckon it's happened. I don't think it's happened because of Trump, to Vince's question. I mean, we've been doing trade radio for, 10, 11, whatever it is now. There's been a form of, to Vince Moody's question here about Trumpism, there's been a form of Trumpism in the consumption of football news in this country anyway. And as you know, and as you well know, Hutchie, no matter what story you present to the public about a certain club, if it's negative, there's going to be an element of the viewing public who do not see that story as being factual, just simply because A, you or whoever it is telling it, and B, it's about their club.
Vince, I think it has. It's made people more cynical about the news, for one. It's made them push back against the establishment of news, number two. It was also Trumpism allowed the biggest megaphone to get the most oxygen rather than who's the right or wrong person in the room. And if you want a good example of that, there's a great series on SBS called Hillary. It's a four-part series I just finished watching. I'm not sure if you've seen it, Damo, but if you haven't, you should watch it on the SBS catch-up in the next few days. And okay. I think it's episode 3 or 4 where they talk about the last 2 weeks of the campaign and the scandal with the Access Hollywood tape and how it was drowned out by the email saga and by other instances and by the stunt he pulled at the second debate, bringing the Bill Clinton accusers. And the manipulation of the media is explored relatively strongly in those episodes. It's well worth a look, Vince. So there's one for you to have a look at.
Okay. Mark Lee Hagen on email. Why, when some articles are written about an AFL player being targeted by, quote, rival clubs, does the journalist writing the article sometimes choose not to specify which rival clubs are, in fact, interested in the player? For example, An article from Mitch Cleary last week talking about Nathan Broad being chased by nameless rival clubs. Is it a case of the journalist doesn't know who the clubs are and just needs to submit a story? Or is it a story fed by the player's manager to gain leverage in contract talks? I'll jump in first on that one, Mark. There's varying reasons for how and why people report certain trade stories. Mitch Cleary is as good as anyone in that space. I'm not aware of the Nathan Broad specifics in that story, but it could be for all those reasons you've raised. It may well be for another reason, Hutchie.
I'd say it's both, Mark. In this instance, let's not talk about this story specifically, but stories like this, a mid-tier player being chased by rival clubs. You know, often the journalist doesn't know. Often the journalist is also complicit in helping the player agent drum up some perceived interest in his player. So the agent will go, look, I can't tell you anything about Big Star at the moment.
Do you reckon that still goes on?
Yeah.
Do you reckon that still goes on?
100%. Yeah. I can't tell you anything about Big Star at the moment.
I don't play that game anymore, Hutchie. I'm not saying I haven't, but the moment you're playing that game, I think you're potentially going down a path that's not really the right one.
Damien, it's Harry here, the AFL player agent. Look, I can't tell you anything today about the big whale you're seeking, but I might be in a position there next week. And in the meantime, it'd really help me if you perhaps let slip that old mate here, the mid-tier, is drumming up a bit of interest, actually. Oh, is he? Which I can't say which clubs.
Well, Harry, that mid-tier player, I'm happy to report this. Is it real, though, that he actually will leave his current club?
Yeah, I think you'll find there's been two or three clubs inquire if you want a little angle there. And then, you might find I might look favourably on that little tidbit when we speak on Monday about the whale, where there's a few things happening.
All right. Well, I'll assess that information at the end of the day. And if I still need to hit send on a story, I may well use that bit of information. Harry, thanks.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't get any complaints from me. And that's you sourcing that. And you go away and do your own research on that. That's what happens.
I might have had a conversation like that yesterday, actually.
Let's go on the record. The mid-tiers, the players ranked 300 to 500 in the comp, are rarely, if ever, chased by opposition clubs. Player agents chase those clubs to drum up interest in them, and they use the media. They leverage their stars against the journeymen.
You're quite true, actually. Yeah, the 300 to 500 players, they're not being sought, are they, really?
No. They're not. They're never sought. The agent will ring and say, hey, you might find. But I'm not putting Nathan Broad in this category. I'm long moved on from him. I'm saying the everyday player. Yeah. How many times do you. I've seen it the last four trade periods. So and so's being word chased. He's attracting interest. At the end of the trade period, he's delisted by his club. And you go, hang on, wasn't he being chased?
No. weren't clubs, quote, circling him?
Circling.
Circling. Clubs are circling.
I'll tell you what I saw the other day. It was Tom Brown said someone had a quote, unquote, my favourite two words, a war chest. I thought, oh, my goodness.
Used that. I think you introduced that to footy.
In the middle of a pandemic, there's been 700 million leak out of the game, but who knew someone still had a war chest under their bed?
I reckon you introduced that phrase. Ronan McGuinness on Facebook. I've noticed that the full Sheffield Shield season is streaming on KO this year. What's your guess as to how this works commercially? Would these rights be worth anything? Would CA have paid KO to stream it to increase exposure?
Well, I should go to our resident Sheffield Shield expert here who got handed the baton from Michael Horan before he handed it over to Trent Bouts and the long list of Sheffield Shield riders in Victoria. So, Damo, your view on this as a Sheffield Shield correspondent in the room?
You know what? As much as I loved Sheffield Shield, and I will still go to the scores at the end of a day's play on the cricket apps I've got, I'm not sure the general public cares, particularly with what's going on in Shield cricket these days, because the big names rarely play. And to me, it's a little bit like the tribunal coverage, Hutchie. People talk about, wouldn't it be great to watch an AFL tribunal coverage live every single week when it's on? They used to say, wouldn't it be great to be able to see live Sheffield Shield? I don't think, once it's provided to the public, that anyone's going to be watching either product. So, no, I'm not sure it's going to be a big return for those broadcasting it.
Yeah, I thought you might have been acting for the Sheffield Shield bright steals in the public markets and giving you its biggest believer in great content.
Hutchie, I covered cricket in an era where people like the great Dean Jones and Simon O'Donnell would still play club cricket and willingly want to play club cricket. They don't even play shield cricket these days. Lee Jones on Twitter. Can Hutchie tell the story about how he and Howard went to the Sports Illustrated Awards and interviewed Trump and asked if his hair was real?
Yeah, so it was Mark Howard. It was minus 5 degrees. He turned up in New York with a surfboard under his left arm because he'd been in Mexico and thongs on. And didn't realise. Yeah. And the next day we're covering for, I think it was one of the Australian magazines or English magazines, the Sports Illustrated Awards, would you believe? And Tom Brady won that night. I remember it well. And Donald Trump was there to introduce him or roast him or whatever. I mean, acknowledge him. So Trump was the spokesman for Tom Brady in a room no bigger than our office here, Damo. And we did interview Trump on the way in, Howie and I, and my tape recorder didn't work. So I only got 2 minutes of the 7 minute interview. It was one of those, you know, those little, the tech was pretty new at the time. And unfortunately, it didn't record as well as it.
So it wasn't the old little tape, the little mini tape cassette. It was the,
I forget
the digital version.
The first version of the digital one. So I only got about 2 or 2.5 minutes. But I did, from memory, I can't remember if it was Mark or me. One of us asked Donald whether his hair was real. I think it might have been.
Yeah, he said it was you. He actually said it was you.
Yeah, and didn't get a great response. But that was probably at a time when he was still a bit of a cartoon character in New York and you could get away with things like that. It's hard to believe he ended up president of the United States. Even then, he had a big star. He was as big a deal in the room as Tom Brady was. I was at the Stone Rose Bar in Time Warner Building at Columbus Circle, about 6 blocks from my then house on 65th Street. So I was on 59th Street. Walking down to the press conference, to the red carpet.
Is there any chance we could find that the 2.5 minutes of what you did record?
Yeah, it would be. I wouldn't think it'd be very spectacular, but I forgot how he was there. So there you go. Good pickup.
Make this the last one, Hutchie. Holic Clothing on Twitter. How hard is it to talk about trade rumours for 4 weeks before all the trades happen in 24 hours? Look, just to that point, people do pose that question, but Trade Radio, Hutchie, as far as I know, and you run the product, will still start on the Monday after the grand final this year, correct? Regardless?
Whatever happens, we'll be on from that day. Yeah. I think it'll start that day no matter what happens.
Yeah, I'm that way too. What we have learned about that, though, the trades themselves are not what Trade Radio is about. It's about the discussion of the club and where it's at that point in time coming out of the season, what it needs to do. And as you know, Hutchie, we like to think we get the best experts to reveal and break the news and obviously the analysis that goes with it, equally importantly.
It's not Trade Radio is not about the outcome. It's about the nuances of deal-making to get to a better day. And if you look at what St Kilda did last year and how they plotted their way through the system to give themselves the best chance, that's what Trade Radio is.
All right, question time done for this week's sounding board. For Drinkwise,
I call it the Shawshank Redemption of Sport Trade Radio. It is the media sport of hope. Everyone starts equal Monday after the grand final, all 18 teams. The next 14 days from there influence how big a year you're going to have the next year. And we're going to see it again this year. And get your popcorn ready. It's going to be fantastic.
I watched that movie sometime in the last 6 months. It still stacks up. It still stacks up, Hutchie.
Yep.
That was, as always, for Drinkwise. If you've got kids at home and if you're having a drink, be a positive role model and Drinkwise in front of your kids.
Thanks for listening to the Sounding Board podcast with Hutchie and Damo for Drinkwise. Make sure you find us on Facebook and Twitter at Sounding Board EP. Hit the sign up button on Facebook to receive our weekly email and subscribe to, rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts.